Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Good morning. I'm excited. Welcome. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. I'm your Chief Profitability Officer, your Profit Evangelist, if you will. Thank you for listening in. We show you how to maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. So listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Today, we're going to talk about bootstrapping your business for less than $1,000, I would say less than $500, even maybe less than $300 or $200. And this subject is near and dear to my heart. So if you want to increase your profits, your profit margin, the first thing, you hear me? Are you listening? The first thing that you do, you must control your costs. You must control your costs and always, always reduce your expenses. I'm talking to you, the retail guy. I'm talking to you, the business owner, the trucker, the restaurant owner. Hey, don't spend $5,000 a month in advertising. Don't do it. Step away from the paycheck, the check. And don't spend $2,000 on a billboard on a highway. I'm not making this stuff up. This actually happens, whether you're a novice at doing business or you've been in business for 5, 10, 20 years. Watch your money. You've got to stop spending all your money. I don't care how good the business is going. Control your dollars. You're listening to the Passion Entrepreneur. If you want to participate in our conversation with Jim Beach, you can give us a call at 646-716-7099. That's 646-716-7099. So we're going to talk about bootstrapping your business. Of course, you've got years of experience. You've got some expertise. You've got this dream. You want to become an icon in the fashion industry. You want to launch a successful media company like Oprah Winfrey. You want to create your construction company. Maybe open up a law firm or a dental practice. You have sights. Your sights set on being the next Donald Trump in real estate. You've got a dream on building a million-dollar business. However, it's just you. You don't have a team of employees, nor can you afford them. You don't have a substantial bank account. You got family, you got kids. You're not independently wealthy. So is it possible to launch a business with less than $1,000, $500, $700, maybe even less than $200? Can you do it? Can it be done? Jim Beach says, yes, you can. We're going to talk about bootstrapping. What is bootstrapping? How can a company bootstrap? What is the percentage of businesses that are actually bootstrapping? And what are the 10 ways that you can bootstrap your company? We've got Jim Beach. He's the co-founder and CEO from 1993 to 2000 of American Computer Experience in Atlanta. During these years, he grew his company with less, no capital infusion, no money, to $12 million annual revenue in 2000. He had over 60 permanent employees, 700 temporary employees. He was operating in states, 39 states, in three countries. So he did pretty good for himself. So I've got Jim. I'm really passionate about this. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to talk about bootstrapping. So let's define bootstrapping. Is it possible to start a business for less than $1,000 or $500?
It certainly is. I know a lot of people that have done it. That's what we teach when we're working with some of the students that I have. And I've personally done it myself. The business that you were talking about started for $35 at the time is what it cost for a business license. and everything else was put on a credit card that was repaid within a month or so, and we literally started a multi-million dollar business on a $35 investment. So it can be done.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. That's why I really, really wanted to get you on the program, because this is what it's all about. So let's define bootstrapping. What is bootstrapping?
Well, bootstrapping is the process of starting a business with very, very little money, using creative methods of advertising, marketing, building your business through special techniques that do not use money. The idea that you don't have to use capital to start and build your business. It's an old-fashioned term. It refers to reaching down to your bootstraps and picking your feet up out of the mud and working hard every day to build a business that is 100% yours, that incurs no debt, and does not owe anyone anything.
Wow, that's impressive. So I was talking with a lady a couple days ago. She says, I need more help. I can't bootstrap. There's no boots on my on my feet. So I said, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, there's no choices. So how can a company bootstrap?
Well, there are lots of different ways to go about it. One of the primary things that you have to think about is what type of business do you want to go into? You know, I always teach young entrepreneurs. My students are usually young people, and they don't have equity. They don't have a bunch of savings and things like that. So for them, it is a decision that starts with the type of business that you're going to start. You know, you mentioned starting a trucking firm or a dentist office or something like that. A lot of those businesses may not be right for a young entrepreneur. A service-based business, however, is something that you can start with absolutely no money. I'm working right now with three young men who are in their early 20s, and they are starting a green service business that's entirely cash positive at this point. They do janitorial services for both homes and the commercial market. And they started that business with just a business license. They went out and got their first customer, and their unique product niche is that everything they do would be green-oriented, green chemicals, entirely environmentally friendly process. With the money that they got from their first customer, they went out and bought the supplies to actually clean his building. And so by doing that, they were able to start the business with no cash of their own, using the customer's down payment to buy all of their first materials. Working with another young man, a 21-year-old, he started a business where he goes to Best Buy, Circuit City, Office Depot, places like that, and buys items that have been discontinued, that they're no longer going to carry. And they're usually sold to him at an incredible discount. He's made $30,000 since Christmas time profit by buying discontinued technology items and selling them on eBay. He's got a website of his own now that he sells them, things like that. He started off by his first purchase was put on his credit card. He's since paid his credit card off and is cash flow positive in under 2 weeks of business. So
wow.
It's something that can be done. The first thing that we really have to do is talk about the choice of your business. You know, a lot of us want to start a fancy, gorgeous business that involves all sorts of money and things, but one of the things I like to point out is maybe that's not the first best business for a young entrepreneur or someone who can't afford to take a lot of risk. Say you're 40 years old, you have a mortgage, a couple of kids, a wife or a husband, and you cannot afford to take a large risk. So I would say let's start with a business that we can start for under $1,000. Let's build a website that does some sort of e-commerce, maybe makes a few thousand dollars in its first 6 months, but something that you can build, selling a product that perhaps you don't even hold yourself. So I love to teach the combination of e-marketing, and drop shipping. There are thousands of companies in America that will sell your product or hold your product in inventory, and then you sell it, and then they ship it for you. You never even have to purchase the product that you've sold. And you can easily build out a website for under $1,000, including buying some software that you might need, a little bit of web marketing and things like that. And you can have a business up and running in a month that costs under $1,000, selling something in a niche that you are particularly fond of. And I have several students who have done this with different niches. I have one student who does African art. He was a missionary in Africa and met quite a few artists that he could get wonderful paintings from. He created a website called African Canvas, and he sells those paintings to help the local people in Africa. He makes about $1,000 a month. You know, he's a full-time missionary and a pastor, so for him $1,000 a month is just nice pocket change, but he's also only spending about 2 hours a month on this business.
Wow, that's interesting. You're sharing some really great stories. You've got a grain company, so they're differentiating themselves from the competition by using grain products.
Then exactly.
The guy that's reselling items, I guess expired items or whatever, he's made $35,000. But, Jim, let me play devil's advocate here.
Sure.
Some experts are talking about recession and what was me, and it's hard on everybody. Gas prices are pretty high right now. Is it really realistic that you can start a business and be successful?
Well, I'm doing it with 21-year-olds that don't know any better. Maybe that's your problem, Ken, is that you have all of these adult biases where we're taught to be afraid of things.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I understand.
I know there's some people saying, hey, it's hard out here, so I know there might be some people listening in
or listening
to the podcast. So I just want to, you know, you're going to get these kinds of questions, and so I wanted to, you know, bring it up to what we're talking about now. I hear it all the time. Hey, it's not a good time to, you know, recession. You watch on TV, you hear it on the radio, and to me, you know, hey, whether it's a recession or not, you still got to focus in and make a profit and
right.
make your business successful. So,
well, you know, whether it's a recession or not, you know, that means that maybe our economy is contracting at 1% or 0.5% or something like that. It's still a $15 trillion economy. Net sales, internet sales, are going to be up 18% this year. Maybe it's an opportunity for us. The fact that gas is so high, I might not go to the mall so frequently, and I may get online and buy something instead of using gas to go to the mall. So maybe there's an opportunity to build a web-based business that supplies spice racks or Christian items or Bibles or art or anything that you're interested in that people could buy from you instead of using the scarce gas to run to the mall, and you know, they save the money that way. I think that just because the economy is in a recession does not mean that there's not lots of opportunity out there for us. And the beautiful thing of bootstrapping is that you reduce your risk tremendously. All you're risking is a little bit of your time. You don't even have to tell your friends and family that you're doing it, so you're not risking your reputation. Almost everyone can afford $500 or something. That's not too much of a burden. So I think that the beauty of bootstrapping is that you reduce your risk substantially. You know, people say that entrepreneurs are people who take risks. I think entrepreneurs are the people who reduce risk to the point where starting a business is a no-brainer. It's such an obvious choice, if you have a good business plan, to start that business because the risk will be so very, very low. So students come to me, people come to me, and they have, you know, really advanced business plans, but they're still very risky because it involves a bunch of money that they don't have. My best advice is let's start a business that's not risky, that you can own 100% of, and maybe change your business plan. It might not be exactly as sexy or as exciting as you wanted it to be in the beginning, but let's change it to something that I can actually figure out a way to start with no money. You're going to be much better off in the long run.
Yeah, let's talk. You mentioned a couple of terms. One was e-commerce, the other was drop shipping. So is it really, I mean, can you really start a website with not a lot of money? How does that work?
Yes, and I could show you several hundreds of examples of that I know from friends of mine that have done this and students of mine that have done this. The cost of starting a website, you can run through it pretty quickly. You need a $100 business license from the state of Georgia. You need to buy a URL or a web name, like whatever.com. That's called a URL. You need to buy that. That's about $40 on register.com. You need to host your website for maybe $150 a year. So we're up to about $300. You need to buy a template or something like that to get a basic look and feel for your website. That's $65 on templatemonster.com. You might need to have that template modified so that it exactly fits your product. That can be done for $200 out of India, and I'm a big fan of Indian programmers. You know, one of the things that entrepreneurs do here in Atlanta or in the Southeast is spend thousands of dollars on website building out, when I could get that same website built out for you for a couple $100 out of India.
And Jim, you want to be careful about that. You don't want to have a bounty on your head, because there's probably a lot of IT people and professionals going to be looking out for you, saying, "Jim, please, please." Yeah, I strongly believe. Yeah, you can find ways to reduce your technology costs by.
Or another thing I like is I like entrepreneurs that learn how to do their own web programming. You know,
yeah.
I think that one of the philosophies of bootstrapping is that I'm going to do everything myself. I don't need a high-power accountant. I can figure out how to file a first-year tax return by myself. I don't need a lawyer to get an LLC for me. I can go down to the Sloppy Floyd building one block north of the Capitol and talk to the nice lady at the booth there, and she'll tell me how to fill out that form. I'm not going to pay a lawyer to do it. I can go and buy on eBay, type in DVD Dreamweaver, and find a $20 package of CD-ROMs or DVDs that will teach me everything I need to know about web design, and I can do my own web design and not hire someone in Atlanta or hire someone in India. So, again, bootstrapping is about doing all of these things yourself. And a big part of that, I believe, is sucking it up and learning a bit of HTML, web design software, so that you can make those changes to your website yourself and do it. I'm not a very technical person, but I learned to do it by watching DVDs. I spent a weekend in my house, made a bunch of popcorn, spent $20 on eBay, and now I can do websites, and I get paid sometimes several $1,000s by people who aren't smart enough to do it themselves or just aren't ambitious enough. And I build out websites for them, and I make some good money doing it simply after watching a $20 package that I bought off of eBay.
Wow. We're talking with Jim Beach. Jim Beach has started a company and produced a multi-million dollar company for less than, how much it was, $35? That's pretty impressive.
We started it for $35, yes.
You can call us if you have a question for Jim at 646-716-7099. That's 646-716-7099. And his website is www.internationalentrepreneurship.com. That's www.internationalentrepreneurship.com. So how do you do this bootstrapping stuff? What is the – maybe give us some ideas on how a company can bootstrap.
Let's run down a laundry list of some of the important ideas. Number one is to get operational quickly. So many entrepreneurs spend time raising money when, in fact, what you should be doing is selling. You should spend 99% of your time selling product. and getting cash flow quickly. So my number one advice is to get operational, and by that I mean selling stuff quickly. Number two, offer a high-value product that relies on personal selling. Now, you can spend the same amount of time selling something for $50 as you could selling something for $5,000. So I like selling high-ticket items that require some personal selling that you can work on. You know, entrepreneurship is about selling yourself. So
let's talk about that. What would be one example of a high-value product or service?
Let's go back to our green janitorial service there. You know, anyone can be a janitor, and to be a janitor is a very simple, mundane job. However, you can go in and say, sir, not only are we going to have your building really clean for you, but we're going to get rid of the allergies that your employees have. We're going to help your conscience by using only green cleaning materials. We're going to advertise that so that your customers know that this is a green building. We'll help you file for environmental safeguards and awards and things like that. And so you've taken a very low-value service, janitorial services, and made it a very high value where you could perhaps charge two or three times as much, because not only are you selling a clean building, you're selling someone a clean conscience. And so you're upping your sales and increasing the dollar amount that you can ask for, because not only are you selling them a clean building, but you're making them feel good in the process. And so there, it's the same sales process. No matter what, it's going to take an hour to sell someone on a janitorial service. But now you've doubled your revenue simply by including in your pitch an emotional element. You know, including in there that I'm going to make your business unique because you're going to be helping the environment. You're part of the solution, not part of the problem. Anything okay. Like that, you making yourself unique in an extra value way that goes beyond the service that everyone else is offering.
Okay, so always be selling. That's number one, get operational quickly, get up operational quickly, and start making money. Always be selling. Number two is offer a high value product or service. What other good ideas do you have?
Let's go with number three, don't build a crack team of recruits. You know, when you get some funding, and maybe you say you raise $1 million from an angel.
You don't hire anybody.
Okay. Right, don't hire anybody. Let's all do it ourselves. And if you do hire somebody, it's a salesman that you pay on commission, right? So the idea of going out and hiring an accountant and a CPA and getting a lawyer, or maybe you think your company needs a CFO or something like that, we're not going to do that. We're not going to build a crack team of recruits. You are your crack team of recruits. Number four, this is a little counterintuitive, but I really believe this. Let's keep growth in check. In other words, let's grow slow organically. Let's not spend a bunch of money on growth that perhaps is premature. I would rather grow within my cash flow than to go outside of my cash flow and spend $5,000 on a marketing billboard or an ad that I don't have. So I'd rather grow a little bit slower, but do it through organic growth that I can fund out of my existing cash flow. In the long term, your growth will catch up with where you would have been, and you'll end up owning all of your company, not being in debt, not having to sell off 50% of your company to some angel investor or venture capitalist to get the money to do that initial marketing.
Okay, so, Jim, we have a caller. We've got a caller. Would you like to take a call? And hold
sure.
on to those numbers now, so we want to get all this information in.
We've
got a caller using 800 numbers. So welcome to the program. You're talking to the Passion Entrepreneur, and Jim Beach is our guest. Who's strapping your business? What is your question or comment? Hello? I guess they're shy. Okay, we'll put them back on. Hello? Once? Twice? Okay, Jim, why don't you go ahead and keep going with your ideas. I thought this person had a question, but that's okay. We'll keep going.
Number five, I want to focus on cash flow, not profit margins or share of the market. So as entrepreneurs,
cash is king.
Cash, yes, everything is about cash. So I am going to focus on cash flow and work everything out of how much cash I have in the bank. Which
That's
leads
what it's
to,
all about, isn't it?
It is.
Cash.
It's the most important thing, cash. And, you know, sometimes entrepreneurs come to me and say, you know, I wrote a plan and I'm expecting a 20% profit margin and I can only make a 10% profit margin on this deal. Should I do it? And my answer is, if it increases your cash flow, do it. You know, cash in is king. So
you've got to sell something if you want to stay
right.
in business. Somebody's got to sell
right.
something.
That's right. Number six, this sort of goes with that. Cultivate your bank relationship early. One of my big things that I tell entrepreneurs is to throw away the ATM card. If you need to cash a $20 check, you go into the bank. And when you go into the bank each and every time, you say hello to every teller and every bank officer who sits out front in the lobby. And you cultivate that relationship. If you have a new brochure, you drop it off and ask them to put that in your file. At the end of your first 3 months, take them your cash flow statement or a profit and loss statement and ask them to put that in the file. Eventually, you're going to want a bank loan or something from the bank. And if you go to them many, many times and then walk in and say, you know me, I'm in here 3 times a week, and they go, ah, Mr. Brown, good to see you again. Yeah, I remember you were in here last week cashing a $20 check. What do you need? And you say, I need a little loan, I need $5,000, whatever. You're going to be a lot further down the road toward getting that good deal from the bank because they know you and they have watched your business grow. So a big thing I like to do is to get into that bank, and every time I have something to tell them, I let them know. We had a big sale today. I sold $8,000 worth of stuff today. And then your banker goes, this is a man that is making his business work. I want to do business with these people. Eventually, you will be able to get a loan or some sort of business from that bank.
We're talking with Jim Beach. You can check out his website at www.internationalentrepreneurship.com. That's internationalentrepreneurship.com. We're quickly running out of time, but I want to hold you on if that's okay with you.
We of want to course.
Get these ideas. So what's the next idea? First of all, it's lose that bank card and establish a great ATM card. Lose the
yes.
ATM card. And establish a great banking relationship with the neighborhood bank. What's next?
Right. And you did say something important there, the neighborhood bank. I'm not a big fan of the huge national banks where you're just a number. Go into a bank that has 2 or 3 locations, a small community bank. You're going to get the same service there and have the opportunity to actually meet the president of the bank. And so I like those small neighborhood community banks. But number 7, argue every price and goal that you get. Argue.
We don't argue in the United States.
Well, you know, that's one of our problems. And I think that people would be surprised how many opportunities there are to get your bill reduced by 10% or 15%. Tell them, you know, I'm a brand-new struggling entrepreneur. I'm bootstrapping my business. Can you give me a 10% price break? And argue, especially, you know, in the bidding process. If you need to have purchase a service, go in there and argue and say, this is a really steep bill for me. Is there any chance I can get this a little cheaper? And you'd be surprised that that can even be done at your local Ace Hardware store, your toy store. So many places will give you a discount if you go to the manager and say, you know, I'm going to spend $1,000 in here today. For me, that's 90% of my cash flow. Can I get a little bit of a break? Can you help me out just a little bit? And if you do, I'm going to become a loyal customer for a long time. You would be surprised at how often you can actually get that to work out for you. People will do that. I've had situations where national chains have cut me a 30% discount because I went and asked the store manager for a discount. And the worst thing that they can say is no.
Where did you get these ideas? Is this something from a book that you got, or did you really implement these ideas?
No, these are things that I actually had to do.
You're speaking from experience.
Right. I was 25 years old when I started my first business and completely broke, and so I had no choice but to do these things. And, you know, I learned to look for opportunities. So my first business was a service education company. We would teach children, and so we were advertising in children's magazines and things like that. And I would call the editor of the magazine and say, well, do you have a kid? Why don't you give me some free advertising, and I'll let your kid come for free? Mm-hmm. And so that's another great example. Number 8 is to barter. Try to find a situation where you can swap goods or services with another small business, particularly your advertisers, so that you can get some advertising dollars for free, and in return do that service for your service for your advertising company. Maybe you could, let's go back to our green janitorial company, maybe yes. They could clean the advertising agent or the advertising company, the newspaper. They could clean the newspaper's offices for a month for free in return for free advertising. That's a great way to build your business.
I like barter. Barter is certainly a way to keep your expenses down and control your costs, and we're actually implementing a barter system here.
Yeah. Let's go on to number 9. Ask your customers to be your marketing staff.
So you don't hire salespeople. You get your clients and customers to do that stuff.
That's right. Ask your customers. Tell your customers, you know what? I'm going to give you a 10% discount. And then you do an excellent job, and at the end, say, you know what? You remember I gave you a 10% discount, and in return, I would like you to tell 5 of your friends about me and my service or me and my product. And that will work. It builds guerrilla marketing. It builds word of mouth. And nothing is better advertising than having one of your friends tell you about a good service. If a friend tells you about a good restaurant, you're probably going to go to that restaurant. If your friend tells you about a good janitorial service, you're probably going to hire that service. So let your customers be your marketing agents and ask them up front. You know, I'm going to give you a discount, but in return, after I've done a great job for you and satisfied you 100%, I'm going to come back and ask for your reference.
These are great ideas. I hope people are writing this stuff down. And we're talking with Jim Beach. You can reach him via the website, internationalentrepreneurship.com. That's internationalentrepreneurship.com. So these are really good ideas. I hope people learn some stuff from it. So what's the next idea?
Let's talk about a product-based idea. So number 10 would be, instead of a service idea, a product-based idea. Importing and exporting is a fantastic way to bootstrap a business, largely because so many banks or someone like UPS will actually loan you money based on your inventory. So you
really?
Can use your inventory as collateral. You can get them to buy your inventory for you because they're holding it. And so it's very low risk for someone like UPS. Most people don't know that UPS has an entire division that does nothing but provide cash flow help for young importers and exporters. So go to a website like Alibaba.com, that's Alibaba.com, and you can find items to import at incredibly cheap prices and use some cash flow tricks from UPS or import-export bank. Summit National Bank here in Atlanta will do these services as well. There are lots of places that will provide financing based on the inventory that you have in your system. So that's a great way to do an import-export business. I love the idea, again, of selling products that you never even touch. So using drop shippers, using international suppliers to supply these products for you, it reduces your cost because you never have to buy the inventory. Someone else holds the inventory for you.
Now, import-export, can you give us a couple ideas on what we could import to the United States or and then what we could export to other countries?
Well, excuse me, importing is certainly easier. excuse me. Right now...
Don't die on us. You're giving us some really great information. Just hold on. A few more minutes.
Well, importing is easier because of China now. And you can find so many different products that are unique that people are making in China for, you know, what we would consider pennies on the dollar. I'm working with a student now who is importing vapes. Vapes are these really, really colorful hip-hop shoes, a shoe that's perhaps 10 different colors or something like that. They sell for $300 or $400 a pair. Now, I can't imagine paying $300 or $400 for a pair of shoes, but a lot of people do. And my student was able to find a source in China that could sell these shoes to him for $38 a pair. The shipping was about $5 a pair, so he had the product in hand for something in the mid-40s for each pair, and he's able to sell these shoes for about $300 a pair eBay or something like that. And so it's all about the niches. I have a friend of mine who says that the riches are in the niches, and that is very true. Find a specialty market, something that not everyone is doing. You know, it might take a little bit of research and a little bit of looking around, but go out there and find something that is a little bit special and import it from China. You know, again, I hate to export the jobs to China, but as an entrepreneur, my primary focus is putting food on my table. And so I'm willing to buy something from China, import it here, and make $200 profit margin if I can.
So we're over about 7 minutes, but is there any other idea that you want to share with our listeners before we conclude?
Yeah, I'd like to point out one more thing, that this entire idea of bootstrapping, though it may sound difficult and it may sound like an extra burden, is actually better for both the business, the owners, and eventually the employees. It's better for the business because you as the owner are going to be doing your sales. You're the primary sales agent, and so you're going to know your customer better. If you have someone selling for you, you will not become as in tune with the customer and as in tune with the sales process as you would be if you're doing the sales yourself. By selling the product yourself, you find out the right words to say, the absolute best way to sell that product, because you're practicing with each and every customer. And your sales close ratio will dramatically increase over time as you learn how to sell the product better. So your business becomes better. Second, it's better for you, the owner, because you're going to capture higher profits and not sell your business off to your friends and family, to an angel investor, to something like that. You're going to own 100% of the business. It may take it a little while to get big, but nevertheless, I'd rather own 100% than 75 or 50%. And finally, it's better for your employees because you can offer them better training. And eventually, say when you get really big and become a multi-million-dollar business, you can give them a little bit of the business, a little bit of options or something like that, and those options or shares in the company will be worth more. And so you will be better off in every sense. I can't stress how important it is to focus on cash flow and to grow your business slowly over time in a way where you are in control.
We're talking with Jim Beach. You can reach him via the website, www.internationalentrepreneurship.com. That's www.internationalentrepreneurship.com. As we wrap up, are there any events that you'd like to share with the listeners, anything that you're doing in the near future or sometime this year?
I'm speaking almost every weekend at various places through the end of May almost. Perhaps one of the best ones people would be on April 26th on Saturday morning. Georgia State University is giving a free seminar where I will be the speaker on, it's entitled Show Me the Money. How to raise money if you have to do it, and where to find angels in Atlanta, people to help fund your business. If you want to do that, pop me an email at james.beach@att.net, and I will make sure to tell you where and when to be. We're also giving out free coffee and donuts.
Coffee and donuts, near and dear to my heart. Not the coffee, but the donuts. Okay, so in wrapping up, what would you like to summarize our conversation about bootstrapping for our listeners?
I think the number one thing to remember is that if you look at the successful businesses that are operating today, 50% of them were funded on their own credit cards, 43% were via bank loans, vendor credit were 23%, and investing, finding money of other people, were only going to generate 6% of successful businesses. You have a greater chance of being a success if you bootstrap. And remember, companies like Dell were bootstrapped. It's still possible to achieve your multi-million-dollar dreams or even the crazy multi-billion-dollar dreams by bootstrapping. If Michael Dell can do it and not even graduate college, some of us can do it too.
Wow. Wow. Very inspirational. Thank you. You shared so many great ideas and strategies on how to get your business going. Again, this is Jim Beach, www.internationalbusiness.com. Thank you so very much for being on the show. We got to invite you back. I know you have the stuff that you want to share with us, right?
I'd love to. I have all sorts of topics that I'd like to talk about, and sharing these ideas are important to me. I'll come back anytime you invite me, sir.
All right, then. Thank you so very much. Well, that is the show. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Definitely check out Jim Beach at www.internationalentrepreneurship.com. So if you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Please forward your comments to our podcast section, or you can continue the conversation online when I place this podcast on the blog. So what did you learn today? More importantly, how are you going to apply what you've learned? What are the steps that are going to increase your business, improve your business, increase your profitability? So call Jim Beach, check out his website at www.internationalentrepreneurship.com. And so if you're looking for a second opinion, if you want to maximize your business opportunity, you want to learn the best practices for profitability, you come to the right place. Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, I am your Chief Profitability Officer and your Profit Evangelist. So if you've got a question, you've got a guest idea or a topic of interest, just contact me via the website, podcast, blog, whatever, and we'll definitely consider it. We want you to be part of the E3C My Business Community family. So with E3C, you have access to over 300 profit and sales ideas, 60 different courses, quizzes, assessments, forms. And last year, trying to get Jim on this, but last year we connected 500 business-to-business connections on Tuesday. We meet online, not face-to-face, but online in E3C Connect. It's every Tuesday from 8 to 9, so I encourage everybody to participate in that if you want to be a part of it. This year alone, we've connected 180 businesses on E3C Connect, so definitely check that out. So as we wrap up, my question, my passion is entrepreneurship. E3C stands for Entrepreneurship, Empowerment, and Evolution, and the C stands for Connect, Collaborate, Create. Dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, and stay profitable like Jim Beach. Take care.